When I was a teenager, I remember in my room having a poster that comes to my mind fairly often still. It was a poster of, it was a white background, and all it had in the background was a broken egg split in half, and then a little chick that had just come out of the egg. You could tell it was posed, but, you know, a broken egg with a little chick. And the caption on the egg below it was, "So now what am I supposed to do?" And that's always been something that I've enjoyed, because it asks a central question. So now what? What am I supposed to do? Today we have readings of shepherds. And I think the very first thing, in order to kind of to help understand, because this kind of imagery in the gospel can be so familiar that we kind of go, oh yeah, the shepherd, the nice shepherd. And it's a pretty picture, you know, the picture of a shepherd. But let's face it, we don't have a lot of experience with sheep, and we don't have a lot of experience with being shepherd. And so even though it's a traditional image, it's an image that a lot of times we don't get very deep with. And so it's important first to understand more the image of the shepherd. And then second of all, we need to get beyond the notion of ourselves being sheep. Because let's face it, if somebody calls you sheepish, that's not a compliment. Not a compliment. And so in what sense are we sheep? And how can we understand it in a way that we don't have to take insult because of being called sheep? So the very first thing is that we in the Catholic Church use that term quite a bit. As a matter of fact, we call priests pastors. I mean, think about that. And that implies that a pastor has sheep. Well, very first thing we need to acknowledge is the role of being pastor. Now, the role of being a pastor is not, we normally have it applied to me, for example, as the pastor of the parish. But I'd like for you to begin to focus that, your attention on a deeper understanding about yourself as a pastor. Okay, because where we're going to go is not about the clergy or the leaders. We all have, there's all kind of pastors. Well, let me back up a little. What is the whole notion of a pastor, and what does he do in terms of sheep? Sheep are sort of skittish. Sheep, all they're interested in is immediately kind of having something to eat. They don't look at their environment a lot. They wander in a flock. And so when a pastor and his sheepdog, I was just watching a whole special on how the work that sheepdogs do, it's quite impressive. But what a pastor and a sheepdog does is answers the question of that little chick at the beginning that I mentioned to you. So now what am I supposed to do? The question is, well, where do you go? what are you supposed to do? We Americans are very good about being able to achieve technical proficiency, but not necessarily the purpose of life. Let me give you an example. You can buy today all kinds of wonderful cars, but none of them tell you where you're supposed to go. None of them tell you where you're supposed to go. It's kind of like, okay, get an education. You can do anything you want, but nobody tells you, what am I supposed to do? Now, we as a culture presume that you are going to have wants. It's interesting because if you heard the responsorial psalm, it's a very interesting responsorial psalm. It said, shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Now, think that through. Why would we be singing, shepherd me beyond my wants, beyond my fears? If you think about it, well, let's put the word shepherd on hold for a second. But why would you want to be shepherded beyond your wants? I thought you were supposed to do what you want. Why would you want to be shepherded beyond what you want? Why should you? Well, maybe beyond our fears. But let's stay with want. Why would you want to be shepherded beyond your wants? My sense is, if you look at it, that the human being, most of the time, ends up wanting what they don't really need. And you end up with a whole bunch of wants that at the end don't lead you to where you're supposed to be. And you have a sense inside of you that if you just go where you want, there is still something inside of you that says, is this what I am supposed to be doing? Notice the little chick. Inside each human being, there is that sense of I should be. There is a sense of ought. O-U-G-H-T. I ought. And that ought is beyond what I want. The ought is not the same thing all the time as what I want. And so the question, we live in a society that says there is nothing you ought to do. And do what you want. But the problem is that inside yourself, there is a sense that even when you get what you want, you're still empty. You're still empty. Look at the tremendous examples of people who have had tons of money, tons of fame, got everything that they could want, but felt empty. Why? Because they identified their want with their ought. And it is the ought that God made you for. God made you for ought. In the Catholic Church, we use the term vocation. Now, normally, we apply that vocation to, oh, do you want to be a priest, or do you want to be a sister, or do you want to be a brother? But think deeper, because vocation really means that for every single person in this world, God has a relationship with you that has an ought attached to it. It's not just about what you want. In the condition we're in, as a matter of fact, the Catholic Church, in Catholic tradition, talks about something called, it's a strange word, but it's just a strange word, called concupiscence. Now, concupiscence means you don't know what you want. Okay? Your inner programming is all messed up. And so you end up wanting stuff that ultimately you shouldn't want. Because when you get it, you're not going to be happy. And if you think about it, our whole society is built upon getting you to want stuff. That's the whole advertising thing. They get you to want products that you really ought not to have, but they get you to want them by giving you, for example, you know, the classic thing. I still think it's funny, somewhat sadly, you know, when they advertise an automobile and they have a sexy girl, you know, standing right next to the automobile, right? And she's showing the automobile. Now, let me ask you this. What's the relationship between this sexy girl and showing you this automobile? Right? You know what it is? Now, we don't do that anymore. I'll say it in a minute, but our commercials are getting a little more sophisticated. But what's that? It's usually meant for guys. Okay? Meaning, unconsciously, even though a guy would never go with this consciously, a guy would say, gee, the kind of guy that has that car is the kind of guy that gets that kind of girl. Right? And so if I get that kind of car, maybe I'll get that kind of girl. Okay? But what's he looking for? He's looking for somebody to love. And somebody to love him. And of course he's attracted to beauty. But notice, he won't reason it that far. He'll just, when he needs a car, he'll buy the car that he thinks will get him to be the kind of person that at least has a chance to get that kind of girl. He's being shepherded. He is being shepherded. The pastor in that situation, notice it goes way beyond the priest. The pastor in that situation is the advertising which is reflecting the culture. He is a sheep. There's something that's, I can't remember the exact quote, but if you get something free, like free TV or free radio or free magazines, you are the product. You are the product. Advertisers are buying you to get their eyeballs so they can shepherd you towards what they want you to get. You are being shepherded. Everybody is shepherded. Every time, yesterday I was walking, I had to go get something at the Galleria, and I happened to, you know, I always marvel at the Galleria. I marvel because there is so many shepherds there. There's so many shepherds there. The only shepherd that works with me is the Apple Store. But there's so many shepherds there. I walked next to the, I can't remember. It's It's the store for young people where they have a huge picture of a very muscular guy laying, and you buy clothing. What's it called? Huh? Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah. You know, I was walking by it, and I saw this muscular guy, you know, lying down, and I just looked at him and said, I used to look like you. In my dreams, I used to. But notice what's happening. That's attracted to young ladies. You know, ooh, if I wear clothes from Abercrombie, not that I'll get this guy, but I'll be the kind of girl that has a chance to get that guy. What does she really want? She really wants to be loved. But she's being sold. She's being shepherded into getting something she doesn't need. Okay. Notice the shepherding. Notice the shepherding. What I'm trying to get you to see is that being shepherded is not just about being a pastor in a church. It's about us and what we allow to shepherd us, because that happens throughout our culture. What we allow to shepherd us. That's why we sing, shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants. Because what you want is not always what is good for you, what you ought to have. That's why so many people get to the end of their lives getting everything they want and nothing that they ought to have done, and they're empty. That's why, by the way, that's why the devil is called the liar. Because it presents to you lots of things that you should want. And he makes you think that you should want that so that you can be fulfilled. But nothing about what you ought to do. Because what you ought to do is to be able to be the kind of man and woman that God made you to be. Only that, the voice of that shepherd, is many times drowned out. Drowned out because of so many voices out there. That's why the Catholic Church tells you, at minimum, go to church once a week. At minimum. So that you can listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Of the person who is telling you not what you want to hear, but what you ought to hear. The person who's telling you who you ought to be. Because it's at the very end of your life that you're going to ask, what was I here for? Now, there's a part in Don Quixote, the play, not the play Man of La Mancha. And in the play Man of La Mancha, which describes Don Quixote, the Spanish crazy guy, who's not so crazy. He says one time, because people say to him, oh, for heaven's sake, be real. You got to deal with real life. And he says, I have dealt with real life. I've been a soldier. I have held men in my arms as they were dying, their eyes looking up, searching. And I could hear the questions, why, coming out of their lips. Then he goes on to say, I don't think they were asking why they were dying. I think they were asking why they had lived. When life itself seems crazy, who knows where madness lies? Perhaps Too much sanity is madness. And maddest of all is to live life the way you want it to be rather than the way it ought to be. And so, in closing, listen to the words, just one more. The words of the first reading, the first reading, and just the very few words. And don't just think about the official shepherds. Think about us as shepherds. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people, you have scattered my sheep. You have driven them away. You have not cared for them. I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands that you have driven them and bring them home back to a meadow. They will increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them so that they need no longer fear and tremble. And none shall be missing, says the Lord. Each one of us has a function of being a shepherd. In some way or another, you shepherd your family. You shepherd friends of yours. You shepherd by the way that you reflect not what you want, but what ought to be. The life that ought to be. You function as a shepherd. Whether you're an older sister to a younger sister, whether you're a parent to a child, whether you're a friend to another friend in need, whether you're a co-worker to another worker who is lost, you and I, all of us, assume the role of shepherd. And in those situations, you are called not to shepherd them towards only what they want. I'm not saying what you want is always bad, but beyond what they want, beyond what they fear, into what ought to be. Because it in only what ought to be are you ever going to feel like, I know what I'm here for. It's only then that you figure out the fullness of your humanity. I'll close it with St. Augustine. Okay, I always tell people, I tease, I don't have any tattoos. Okay? I don't have any tattoos. But I've thought about getting one. Okay? Well, I've thought about getting a tattoo. But this tattoo would be on my forehead. Okay? And it would be written backwards. And the reason is so that when I looked in the mirror, I could read it. Okay? And the tattoo would say what St. Augustine said in the first chapter of his Confessions of St. Augustine. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts cannot rest until they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts cannot rest until they rest in you. You can get whatever you want, but until you rest in God, you're going to be like that chick. Now what? You're going to feel lost. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts cannot rest until they rest in you. God bless, and thanks for listening to me this morning.